Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Australian Survivor specialists Alexa and McKenna are back, and McKenna is already huffing and puffing because the season sucks. It's over. Sarah did not win. And we don't know what happens in the 21st episode because neither of us actually watched it.
Yes, the season's over. I mean, I predicted her to go out in 6, 7, or 8. So
this is my time. Yeah, right timeline.
Yeah. So she fits in with that, but yeah, we lost a great one today.
We sure did. We lost two great ones. We lose Sarah and Luke, and so Asana is really on its last limbs here. And I bet we should have
Jericho.
Jericho keeping us alive.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
We still have sort of Michelle and sort of Tara, but they kind of half make an Asanga together. Because
yeah,
they went
like
to
one half plus one half equals one. And Luke says that at the beginning of episode 20. I just wrote down like three different times Michelle is very pissed. And Luke has like an opening confessional that says, like, hey, this Asanga group, like, we rolled in with four of us. And we're not looking too bad. And that should have been the first sign of trouble. Because they the two best, you know, two of the best players and certainly one of, if not the most entertaining player on this season, both in reference to Sarah and Luke, I understand, are gone. And so it's really all about Samato now. But before we went live, you were saying that this episode felt like Sarah's swan song. And I think you're right on that.
From minute one, it was just all about Sarah till right when she got voted out. That everything was Sarah this, Sarah that. Strategy revolving around Sarah, what Sarah's doing, the relationships of people to Sarah. It was just very much we knew this was Sarah's episode.
Yeah. And she... That was the thing. I don't have a ton of notes really on either of these episodes, but
I refuse to take notes. So
So for everyone who like loves that McKenna usually watches these episodes twice, McKenna has no notes on the first episode. So I will be driving solo for this first section. But really, like, you know, we're really just at the end of the day, we're talking about Michelle versus Sarah, but Sarah is the only person who doesn't vote for her. She goes home unanimously. Mm-hmm. And all of these conversations just felt so like, I mean, yeah, we could get rid of Michelle, but we really should just get rid of Sarah. So the suspense wasn't there. And that it's not to say that I wanted or needed the suspense, but it was her time.
Yeah, it was very much just a, man, you played a kick-ass game. Adieu.
Yeah. Goodbye, you're going home unanimously.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, someone, I think it was, I forget who exactly made this comment, but someone was like, you guys are about to watch the most low budget, but
charades.
The best Survivor charades. What did you think of this?
I mean, my friends and I play charades all the time. I'm a big fan of charades. So if I am on your team, you are winning this challenge. And hey, KFC on top of it.
That's what I love. You get the silly challenge and you get the sponsored reward. And I always love the sponsored reward. And it looks pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie.
What I was surprised was there was like no drumsticks or chicken breasts. Or it was just like tenders and nuggets.
Yeah, there was a bucket.
And salad.
And salad. Yes, very weird.
For Luke.
yeah, I know. I love that they kept talking about that. Is Luke a vegetarian or were they just making fun of him?
I think making fun of him because he ate everything from the auction.
Everything. Yeah. He literally ate everything. That's a very good point. So they play charades and they even like as soon as he announced it, they're all like, all right, like whatever. And I didn't really get it at first. I thought like I wasn't sure how they were going to pick out the animals, but it was nice to know that like the people who were guessing had options because otherwise that would have taken way longer.
Props to, I think it was Tara who was guessing Peter's gestures.
Gestures is the word. Yes. Yes. Tara was guessing Peter's. I wrote, yeah. Peter's ridiculous, but he nailed it.
He was just like to his octopus. I was like, what?
It was like, it's like, how do you decide between an octopus and a jellyfish? Like they both just kept like kind of flailing their arms around. And Locky was very good too. But what I loved about him is he was snorting, but he did it silently. So he was like making the snorting face, but not actually making a snorting noise while he was being a pig.
Yeah.
It was great. And it was funny because they're like all of the challenges always have just been like narrated by the host. He can't really narrate these. And so there was a lot of like dead silence and like silly music, which I thought was funny.
It was ridiculous. It was a very good challenge. And Ziggy Locky, Hot Model Sarah, and who else? Oh, Luke. Came back from a 3-0 deficit.
Never give up. Never give up when, especially when you're playing charades.
Exactly. Because hey, anything is possible.
I thought that was great. It was like this gigantic comeback because they like did a better jellyfish than the other person.
and then a better lizard. On the wall, just the lizard.
It was so funny. This challenge completely lived up to the hype. The challenges have been really good, but this is just something I never would have expected. And I'm gonna say this, like I feel like people, myself included, love to complain about everything in American Survivor. I would like this if it was on American Survivor.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those challenges that are stupid, but you just love them. Like the mixer challenge where you have the box and it's like, oh, can I have that sea sponge?
Yeah,
Amazon and All Stars. Like the challenge is so dumb, but it's so good.
It's so incredibly dumb. we get an All Stars reference in our second episode. But so at the end of the day, Locky, Ziggy, Sarah, and Luke win, which is a pretty interesting group of four because obviously Sarah and Luke are super tight. Locky and Ziggy are like not really tight, but they're kind of adjacently tight. Yeah, like by association. It's like we're from the same city, so therefore we have to like each other. But Locky before this he'd been saying like, you know, like we've got it. All the original Samatows have to team up because our numbers are just better than theirs. And again, at this point, Ziggy still has an idol, which
that, yeah. And also Peter and Locky have a lot of tension and Locky is just like, let's deal with each other for like a vote or two and then go after each other.
Exactly. Which, you know, ends up working out pretty well for them. But at this point, this group of four, it's a very divided 2-2. And they literally sprint to this KFC feast. Like it's laid out on this huge table and they're not walking. They just like absolutely drop all this stuff and go. So I thought that was really good. KFC like is something that I would really like out there. Like fried chicken is such a craving that I have always. So I'm sure when I'm starving it. You know, nuggets is exactly what I'm looking for.
For me, I mean, I'm a chicken nugget girl through and through. So like I have dinosaur chicken nuggets in my freezer, like pretty much always. So like chicken nuggets is always the best reward for me. But also now again, I'm not on an island starving, but chicken is something that I would be like, okay, good. I can eat this. It's not a burger or a steak where it will completely wreck my insides.
It's a little leaner.
Yeah. So I feel like a KFC reward where you can choose to have the breading or not, or like choose to have some of the grease factor. It's a lot easier on the body to indulge in.
Yeah, a lot easier. And as previously mentioned, there was a salad.
Yes, for Luke. Just for Luke.
There was a salad option, but only for, no one else could eat it. So they're chowing down and they get to a point where they're like, all right, I guess we have to like obligatory strategize, even though the four of them would never work together. And they do this awesome thing that I don't know if this has been done before, but I think it's Locke's idea. And he's like, all right, all four of us are just going to say this, say a name at the exact same time. We're going to see where it lands. I kind of love it because this goes back to something that we were talking about before we went live, but there are that like, and this is maybe just a cultural thing, but like, there's always a sense of they're never taking this too seriously. Like this would never happen in American Survivor. Instead, we get this huge huge confessional about how like, oh, this person has to convince somebody else, and this will be a huge failure if this doesn't happen. So it was just really nice that they were like, well, let's just check names out there and see where it goes.
If this was American Survivor, either it would be dead silent, no party would say a name, or you'd get like the one person who's dumb and is just like, Alexa.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Crap.
It's like when Dean was like, oh, we should split the votes. And Chelsea was like, we can't because everyone's
here.
So they do it, and it's two for Peter and two for Jericho. Obviously, Luke and Sarah say Peter. Obviously, Lockie and Ziggy say Jericho. I thought Jericho was an interesting choice, but I guess it makes sense because the two of them are right there. They kind of think that they could steal Michelle, and so Jericho is the only one remaining.
Right.
And then the other two go for Peter. And then in my mind, the biggest turning point of this episode is that Sarah throws Michelle's name out there. And that is what Ziggy takes and just turns around on Sarah as soon as they get back to camp.
That, and also Luke doesn't help anything because he's just trying to keep his name away since he was the main guy being like, hey, let's just like not tell Michelle about this vote. And Sarah's like, but shouldn't we? And Luke's like, no. It'd be fun to not. And Sarah just goes along with it. And Sarah goes along with it. And then Michelle is rightfully pissed because her four alliance did not include her in anything. And Luke's just like, it was Sarah's fault.
just like completely goes along with it. So I think it's smart of Sarah to throw Michelle out there because Michelle is a name that seemingly everybody can get behind. And I think Sarah knows that, you know, out of that group, she and Luke are the two biggest targets. So what she has to do is throw out a name that could appease everybody.
I think it would have been really fun if Lockie, Ziggy, Sarah, and Luke were the final four, because these are like, how are you gonna pick from them?
Yeah,
because they all played this rock star game, and you have like the, not that anybody there isn't deserving, but I don't see how Peter wins.
No.
Michelle has a case, but like people don't like Michelle.
Tara got voted out.
Yeah, Tara technically got voted out. So like Jericho. But what has Jericho done besides be Luke's puppet?
So that like that's your best four right there. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably do realize that. And I wish, kind of like, you know, way back when we were talking about the Henry, Ziggy, and Lockie alliance, like that's never really happened before. Like when have the four biggest players ever decided to team up? And I get why they don't, but so there does come a point where, you know, now Lockie and Ziggy, they're the two best players left. And Ziggy now is very clearly not safe anymore because she played her idol.
Yes, that. And then Lockie has also been thrown around in a lot of people's mouths. Ziggy almost went home in this next episode. So I feel like they would have had a lot more protection if they actually, the four of them, just stuck together.
Yeah.
And then maybe broke off after that. Like one of the two people they could have done. Well, it probably would have been Luke and Sarah breaking off because they have Jericho and Michelle. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but yeah. So not looking too good.
All of these cool things could have happened, but they didn't. So what happens is we go back to camp, and Ziggy is the one who makes this happen. She goes to Michelle and she's like, Sarah threw you under the bus. I mean, Michelle, who's already pissed, is now double pissed. And it's incredibly easy to get the rest of the Samatows on board because it's not them. Yeah. So,
I don't think Sarah was really in the wrong for throwing Michelle out, because Michelle was throwing out Sarah the episode before that. Mm-hmm. Like, she was been like, I think I love Sarah, but like, she should go. And now that she blindsided Michelle, she's like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
Sarah's done.
Now we're done.
So now Sarah throwing Michelle back out is just reciprocation from you, from Michelle throwing Sarah's name out. So,
yeah, definitely. So we do have a new alliance name. It's the Popcorn Chicken Alliance. Why? Because it never happens.
Contrary to like the Chicken Idol throwback, we have the chicken
throwback. I forgot about the Chicken Idol.
Remember? Yeah. And remember when like Amy, Military Mark, remember when they were married? On the season?
God, this feels like seasons ago.
Kent?
Kent, yes.
First Boot Joan?
AK?
Yeah, like these people.
He got an applause on his way out.
Yeah.
So we have the Chicken Idol Alliance. which again, like, and it's funny because even before we're going to the immunity challenge, like even as we're just talking about this, Sarah is not feeling safe. Like she's walking into the immunity challenge saying, I have to trust in this Popcorn Chicken Alliance because I know I have no other options. So she already knows that she's in trouble.
Yeah. For my heart, I was glad that she went first and was like out of it first with this log roll. Because I was like, all right, great. I don't have to deal with maybe she wins.
And she goes out early, which again, is sometimes like, crap, like she's like totally in trouble now. But let's go to this. So we have a Survivor All-Stars challenge. We have the log
and Gabon. And Gabon.
I haven't watched Gabon in quite a while, so good memory there. Maybe I'll watch that later. So it's one-on-one log rolling, and it starts off with Sarah versus Luke, and they actually tie at the beginning, which like got me kind of excited. And then Luke ends up beating her. Like you said, it's just like, okay, now why does this matter?
Once I saw that pairing, I was like, all right, never mind. she might have a shot against one of the girls. Maybe Michelle, maybe Tara might have a shot against them. This isn't completely Ziggy's strength range. So I think she has like an open shot against any of the females there, but put her up against probably every male but Peter, she's done.
And Michelle also, I don't think there was a chance that Michelle was going to win this challenge either. So this just felt like another one that was going to be, okay, spin the bottle between Lockie, Ziggy, and Luke. Like, who's going to win this one?
Because they're the biggest and can have weight to throw around.
Right. So Luke wins that first round, and then we have Ziggy versus Pete. Ziggy wins.
Yeah.
Shocking everybody.
Peter's not good at challenges. I like Peter, but like, he's just, nope.
And then we have Lockie versus Michelle.
Yeah, okay, next.
Lockie wins. And then Tara versus Jericho. And we get Jericho.
Which was kind of semi all right, because I was like, ooh, a barrel racer. But
that's exactly it, but does not matter. So then we go Jericho versus Luke. Mm-hmm. And Luke wins. Yeah. And then
he just has the body. Like, he's big. I don't see how Jericho could have pulled that out.
It's just like falling. Like, when you're that tall, and like, I mean, Lockie ends up winning this, he's gigantic. Like, it takes longer for you to get to the water. Like, Jericho, it's easier for him to fall, but like, Lockie, it's like, whoop. Yeah. So, and then we go Lockie versus Ziggy. Lockie wins. Lockie versus Luke, and they have to do best 2 out of 3. Lockie ends up pulling it out.
Yep.
And we start to see a real Lockie, like, he's starting to run away with these immunities.
Yes. Like, I don't understand how people like Jared, Annalise, like, they went first and not get Lockie out, get Ziggy out while you have the chance, because you won't have a chance to be safe. You're not on an even playing field.
Yeah, exactly. And so, again, with Luke being gone in this upcoming episode, it's really just Lockie and Ziggy running mm-hmm. train on these challenges.
Yes. They both have 2.
Yeah. So we get back, and to me, it feels obvious. McKenna, do you want to walk us through what happens?
Oh, yeah. It's just essentially the back and forth of they kind of had to throw in a little, hey, let's everyone vote for Michelle. And and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, Sarah, no problem. We got you. And then runs off. It's like, all right, so it's Sarah.
And like, Ziggy thinks she's in trouble, but nobody else really talks about her, I don't think. I was a little surprised she played her idol.
So the thing is, she thought Sarah flip it like was just smoke because Sarah and Michelle are really close. They didn't think that Sarah would do that to Michelle, but apparently they believe Michelle when they were doing it to Sarah. Right. I don't understand, but yeah. So Ziggy plays her idol wrongly for herself, and Pete's just like, what the hell are you doing? Play that for Michelle. You know you're not going home. And Ziggy's just like, but what if I am? And
what if I am? Yeah.
She's safe that episode, so hey.
Well, he like feels very strongly about her playing it for Michelle. Like, he's not like, oh, you should. He's like, he tells her multiple times, like, you should be playing this for her. Which is really the only inclination that, or the only thing that tipped me off that Sarah might have been safe.
Oh my god. If she went out because he played, I would have the nullified and then played this idol for Michelle to stay in, and Sarah goes home with the next
that
highest vote.
So much worse.
Like, that would have been awful. Like, I like Ziggy. That would have made me not like Ziggy.
Yeah, that would have been tough. But fret not. Sarah goes home in a much more noble way by having every single person vote her out.
Yes. Yeah. Luke and Jericho see the writing on the wall, and they're just like, well, all right. If you can't beat him with this vote, join him.
Exactly. Important to note, I took one note for tribal council. Michelle refers to Sarah as an ex-boyfriend, which I love. I just thought that was a really good reference.
Yeah, so I am wearing a Sunga blue as close to it as I can with row 2, and then she wears a green flannel, so I'm wearing a green flannel in solidarity.
I hope that Sarah is watching right now, sobbing at the beautiful memorial that you have put out for her.
Thank you. And also, Sarah, if you're watching, you should come on this podcast.
Yes. Hi, Sarah. We would love to have you. Well, now that we know that Sarah doesn't win unless another Annalise and Tara thing happens, then, you know, we can stalk her Instagram and see if she'd want to come on.
But what if she has another placement person on there? Like, hey, my best friend who just won. I'm still waiting.
3 years ago. Yeah.
I'm still waiting until after the season, just in case. Because I really just want to be genuinely, like, surprised with who wins. And sometimes it's like, taste it, that I don't want to just be randomly spoiled.
McKenna, your mic is, like, tweaking out a little bit. Sometimes I can't hear you. But I felt what you just said. So, yeah, just make sure that that's okay. But otherwise, sounded great. Hi, Polly. Any other, before we move on, do you have anything else to say about the best player on the season?
Come back.
Please come back.
Can we pull another Tara? please, who is still in this game.
But would Sarah win that?
I mean, it depends on the challenge.
That's true.
And who she's up against.
Yes. So we move on to episode 21, which is insane. Yeah. And it's really all just like everyone's kind of coupled up. Jericho and Luke are like pretty much complete free agents. And Peter and Michelle team up, which I think is an interesting duo. It's kind of like the two people who's like, whose girlfriends were voted out, like Tessa got voted out and then Sarah got voted out. And then Peter and Michelle were like, oh crap, we need each other. They team up and approach Luke and Jericho.
Yes. It's the whole big pre-challenge is all so Locky, right? Locky. And so I'm thinking, like, are they doing this again? Are they just gonna give us who's going home again? So
yeah, and it's smart because it's Tara who wants to get rid of her. Like it's get rid of him. It's originally Tara's idea, and obviously like talks to Ziggy about it. But it is kind of crazy that like this was this was Locky for the first half of this.
Mm-hmm. And toward the end of it, I was like, he's got to win immunity. I couldn't see this episode was just really predictable, which is kind of different from what they usually.
Yeah, it hasn't been this obvious before. Like these two episodes have felt super obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I know he wins immunity. Now it just is whoever they throw out now. And it was between Luke and Ziggy.
Right. So Tara wants to get rid of Locky because he's been bossy. Ziggy doesn't care because it's not her. Mm-hmm. And I want to give Jericho a little credit here. I've been very hard on him. And Luke actually has, for what it's worth, it's Luke who says this. Like, it's not Jericho kind of talking about himself, but Luke credits Jericho for why he's still there. Luke is like, I could not have made the moves I've made without him. I would not be here if it isn't for him. I think their relationship is definitely like the strongest duo clearly left in the game, but probably the strongest duo throughout the entirety of the game. So I thought that was big.
Yeah, I'd say that as well. I think they're for sure the strongest. They last the longest. They started the earliest. So they're just rock solid. Never say die.
Yeah. So that doesn't end up working out for anybody because Luke goes home. So,
and again, I'm stuck with I don't think Locky wins, and how the hell do they let Ziggy win? So who the heck is left
to win this? And people in the chat are saying that, like Ryan Chan is saying, I remember everyone at the time was like, what the heck? Who's going to win the season?
Well, even before Henry, it was Annalise. So like,
yeah,
this whole like merge subsequent boots are just, all right. So, okay. They're not winning. Well, at least we have these people there and we're just crossing out the winners.
Yeah. So this is going to be a really interesting, like, I think we have three more after this one. It's going to be a really fascinating, like, next three episodes. Ryan Chan hitting us with $2. No mention of Jericho running his car over a cat.
Oh, we haven't gotten to tribal yet. I'm pretty sure that's in tribal when he's just like, everyone better get in this car. And if they jump out and die, that's fine. But yeah, I'm still driving this car.
Ryan, we're not there yet, but we'll be there in like 10 minutes. So we have another moral dilemma, which ends up not being a moral dilemma because this person makes the choice immediately. Tara finds blankets and lollies. And I love these Australian words. Lollies sound so cute. I want a jar of lollies. Does not hesitate and takes the lollies.
So this would be my dilemma because I'm always cold. And sugar and candy are like my vice. So,
I feel like this could have been me. So I'm with you. I'm also always freezing cold, but I feel like they've been there for years. Like at this point, they probably already have some form of blankets and they probably know that they're close. I feel like, especially once we're in the individual part of the game, I feel like the option of blankets versus lollies was a pretty easy decision.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have gone the lolly way as well, but it, especially because we only have a few people left, you're not going to be there that long. Why have the blankets? But it's still just a, what if I could just like wrap up in this blanket and get a night's sleep?
Yeah, that's true. Because also like that sugar is not particularly good for you right now. Like
exactly.
Tennessee, not that bad. This like a bucket of sugar is not good.
Right. On an empty stomach. And then you're just, yeah, it's probably very bad for you, but oh well.
That being said, she takes the bucket of lollies and shares them with Ziggy to solidify their interest in getting rid of Lockie. And yet again, everybody loves Ziggy.
Do they not see it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do they not see she has the game in the palm of her hands? Like, sure, she's kind of sort of on the bottom, but everyone still wants her input and vote and all that.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And again, this would never, ever happen in American Survivor. So it's cool that like the two challenge beasts are still floating around, and Lockie they want to get rid of because Lockie's been the leader forever. Ziggy has just like been so obviously under the radar that clearly not that obvious, but I guess obvious to us.
Yeah.
So we go to the immunity challenge, which I think is very stupid. I think it should not be. And I mean, that's what I'm leaning with. I think it should not be an immunity challenge because there's a lot of luck in this one. And sure, you can remember where all of the tokens are, but I didn't like it.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
Tell the class what happened and what you think about it.
All right. So for the immunity, for it being an immunity challenge, I'll jump on your bandwagon.
Yeah, this could be a reward challenge.
I always love the matching challenges. And especially like Fiji, where Lisi just like face plants into the ground and it just like gets up like nothing happens.
Yes.
They provide some drama. So this was more intense because they're like chasing. So what they have to do is they'll be shown an object and there'll be one less object than people left remaining. So I forget what the first one is that they have to go and find, unless you wrote it down.
I didn't. I just wrote the order of who went out.
Okay. But there was one less object. My mic is going to fall down.
Oh.
So there's one less object than people. And you just have to run and find and hope you remember where it is.
And yeah. And again, I'm with you that this would have been good for a reward challenge. I just don't like that, like, someone could go home because they didn't run fast enough to find the randomly hidden object.
Which was Michelle with the coconut.
Right. And so the order of who goes out is Tara, Pete, Jericho, Ziggy, Michelle, Luke, and Lockie wins this. So at the end of the day, it's still like Ziggy, Luke, and Lockie are still three of the top four. So I guess it doesn't really matter. But at this point, Lockie wins and Tara is like, well, crap. Like, I don't know what to do now because this is all we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes.
Yeah. So it was just like, okay, great. So this first little bit was for what purpose? Okay. Right. We're going to go and ignore everything that just happened. And who's going to go now?
It makes me think that Lockie goes home like either the first or the second episode next week because I think it's been building for that long. That like Ziggy should go home, but that hasn't been a building storyline. I feel like everyone has known that Lockie shouldn't win from like the very beginning. Or you shouldn't let him get to the end from the very beginning. So we get back and Ziggy, Tara, Luke, and Jericho. Like a very weird trio or quad, they talk about hitting Michelle, but Lockie doesn't want to. He wants Luke out. And I think Lockie's looking at him and saying, he's probably my only competition. Again, not looking at Ziggy. And this kind of brings out the like bossy Lockie that we've been hearing about.
Yeah, he comes up with his, all right, so we've got to align with these, and then we cut these, and then we're good. Final three. And
yeah. Like, okay.
Yes. Because just in case that ends up being their way to the final three, they don't want to burn the bridge, but
right,
they realize this isn't good for my game.
And they also, you can't really fight him right now because he does have immunity. You can't turn it around on him. And he's like kind of has this weird majority because a lot of these people like don't have the relationships with Luke and Jericho. You know, like some of these players still haven't directly interacted with each other a ton. Like Sarah earlier said, like, yeah, I'm talking to Lockie because I'm desperate. Like Peter and Luke, like, what do they talk about? So yeah. Lockie is just kind of like a common denominator for a lot of people, so it makes sense to go with him.
Also, like Peter and Lockie, they don't talk.
Yeah,
Peter has a little bit because he was on Asanga for a little bit with Luke Jericho, and he had to kind of save his butt once AK went home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that, but he was going through Sarah. Sarah's gone.
Exactly. So we get to tribal council, and I wrote down a note. There's a cool conversation about how challenges are a part of the strategy. But first I want to hear about Jericho running over Cap because I actually completely missed that.
He had a whole tribal council speech where he was like, if you're not in my car, everyone's got to be in the car. Whether you jump out of it, that's what you got to do. And if you get like, if you die jumping out of it, you die jumping out of it. So like, if you're not going to vote my way, you could be next. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just going to drive this car. If I drive it into a tree, I drive it into a tree, but I'm driving this car. So he does not want to steer away from voting Ziggy just because Luke is the person on the other end of it, and that's been his ride or die the entire time. So if he goes with it, he goes.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting analogy. But I mean, that's what ends up happening. I mean, Ziggy only gets two votes, and they're from Luke and Jericho, and everybody else overwhelmingly votes for Luke. So Lockie does end up pulling this one out. But one last thing I want to say about this tribal council is that they just talk about challenges in a way that it's integral to strategy. And challenges are such an afterthought in American Survivor. And they're such an afterthought, like, oh, how many immunities do you win? Like, it's just not a big deal. So I really like that. And I think it's really refreshing that they actually value the challenges.
I think for American Survivor, what happens with challenges is if your strategic play is pretty on par and you have similar moves strategically, then they will go to the challenges and be like, okay, how many immunities did you win versus the other person that you're kind of on par with?
Right.
Where you kind of see something like a Game Changers. Sarah wins because she has superior strategy, but Brad had strategy and 5 immunity wins.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just strategy.
Yeah. And that just seems to be what they normally prioritize, which I still see here, but it just seems to be weighted a little more evenly.
Mm-hmm. So my only two notes that I took for the entirety of both of these episodes is when they walk into tribal council, JLP is announcing the jurors and he announces Sarah, and Lockie just goes, stunner. And Tara says, now she looks like a model.
That's the only notes I took. Now she looks like a model is a very like backhanded way to say that she looks really good. That was good. And that's another thing we haven't gotten in a while, like the reactions to like jury members like getting the full glow up. That was, you know, that was really fun.
Yeah,
but unfortunately that is the only way in which we will be seeing Sarah from now on. I am excited to see Luke's glow up too.
I didn't get a chance to watch Luke's I forget what they're called, but Ponderosa Jury Villa. Yeah. I did watch Sarah's, and hot model Sarah for sure.
Yeah, the I know. I haven't watched any of those. I have to give them a shot.
Yeah, I haven't watched a couple of them, but
obviously Sarah's the one to watch.
Yeah, I needed closure.
We lose two big time Asanga members tonight. Again, Jericho is really the only pure Asanga remaining. And as we've been saying, in our minds, we only see like two clear winners left, one of which is already a conversation topic of who to go home. And the other one is shockingly not.
Yeah, she's sort of there. She had a sprinkling here.
Yes.
And otherwise, Tara loves her. Michelle loves her. Jericho would work with her because, yeah, she's great in challenges. Jericho would work with her because now where does he have to go? Peter's already, I love Ziggy because they were aligned before with the AK Alliance thing. Mm-hmm. So if Ziggy doesn't win this, I have no idea who else is going to win this.
Right.
Like, at this point, because Sarah's voted out, heck with it. I'm rooting for Tara and Michelle. Like, if Ziggy doesn't win, I'm rooting for two people I don't want to win.
Okay, you're rooting for Tara and Michelle, and I'm going to stick with my original winner.
Yeah, you have Jericho.
I got to stick with Jericho. I was so high on him for a minute and have been incredibly low on him since, but I gotta stick to my guns there.
Yeah, you have to until if he's voted out. So you just have to.
At this point,
there's no choice.
We shockingly have only 3 weeks left of this marathon season, which is insane, but it's been a ton of fun. Yeah. If you don't have anything on these next two episodes, can you tell everybody what we have planned for the next few weeks?
Well, I did watch the recap for our next week's podcast.
Oh, good. I did not.
I know you didn't, so that's why. So there's obviously Tara Lockie tension, and then they are doing the Samotion challenge, I think. Or no, Samotion is the one with the wire cage, but they're doing another one like the bow challenge, but with the ring, and they have to like fun. keep the ball in the ring.
That's a good one.
But this week, a lot of things. Earlier today, the Jeopardy game was posted. If you want to take a look, it's where Andy, Kyle, and Annabelle, the three winners of our previous trivia games, competed to win 40 whole dollars and a buff.
And a buff. Yes. 40 singles. Yeah, 40 whole dollars.
Yeah, 40 electronic particles that Venmo sent over. And then we have coming up in just a few short hours, John, Phil, Annabelle talking about the challenge. And then on January 30th, we have another trivia game. So please sign up this weekend. Adam Klein is going to be co-hosting with us. So sign up. The form is probably going to be in the description / on the Facebook pages, Instagram stories, Twitters, all the things.
All those social medias. I just tweeted it today. It is reposted on our Instagram story, and it's also in the link in our bio in our Instagram. Yes. So if you wanted to click to our Instagram, and I'll put it in this description too, so you guys can find it.
We are also casting for our next episode as well on February 20th. So there's a question within the form saying if you want to be on January's, February's, or you can do both. And we will hopefully see you then. Otherwise, join the mailing list and more trivia.
A lot more trivia. And now this will be fun, especially like now that we've had sort of the final three winners kind of reset it. So,
Yeah, this is our quote unquote season two.
Season two. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's what the bit.ly link is, SGSN season two. So then after we get three winners from this, another Jeopardy.
Another Jeopardy. And then someday we'll make it a real life Survivor game.
Yeah, right. So the winner of this Jeopardy has to sit sit patiently for the next couple more months.
Months, to, yeah.
to find a season three Jeopardy winner, but.
But yeah, sign up. It's a ton of fun. And again, you guys know where to find us. And tune in later tonight for Phil, John, and Annabelle to recap the challenge.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.